Evacuated. White House lockdown over airspace violation. I remember this. Small single-engine plane strayed into restricted airspace near the U.S. Capitol on Friday, forcing anxious officials to place the White House in temporary lockdown and take steps to evacuate the Capitol. The episode was over within minutes as two F-16 fighters and two Coast Guard helicopters intercepted the Somali pilots. We're driving them. These damn Somali pilots. It is Friday, which is a very, very good thing. On the Nancy Skinner Show, I'm Nancy Skinner. 1-888-64-NANCY there, or 1-888-0-NANCY is the number of the program. Or for people without letters on phones, it's 646-2629, and it's a Friday, which is always, as you know, a very good day for me. It's like the... I don't know what it is. It is the it's the massage day for Nancy Skinner to relax after really stressful days on the radio these days, living in the Motor City, just 6 days from complete implosion of our auto industry. Yeah, it's good. And so, of course, what's even better is that James Boyce, my boy toy on Friday, is with me. He is one of the original posters at Huffington Post, senior advisor to both Bill Richardson and John Kerry. And James is with me. Hi, James.
Hey, Nancy. How are you? Happy Friday.
Oh, happy Friday.
Oh, it's a good day. It's a pretty day back here in Boston, so it's a good Friday.
Is it? Is it? You have nice weather there?
Finally.
In Boston.
Yeah, it's warm over the weekend. We got the Yankees coming to town, which, of course, you know, means... all sorts of fun, and we get to make fun of New York, people from New York, and hopefully the Red Sox win. And I know on Friday we like to have, you know, we talk serious stuff, but last week was like far too serious. I had to concentrate far too much for a Friday afternoon. So I've got a couple little fun things that I found online here that on the Huffington Post that we can talk about.
Thank God for you, because you think you had a serious week? I'm talking about 6 days till my entire industry melts down. And everyone wants to talk about torture. They don't care. I've had people call me. I don't care if the auto industry goes bankrupt or the climate explodes. Frankly, all I care about is prosecutions of the Bush officials. So my week's been tougher than yours, I'll bet you. But anyways, I'm glad it's Friday and you're here. A little bit of a code to my nose, but that's okay. So what did you find that's funny? Because I found my own stuff, but let's let James Boyce, my dear friend, take the lead on.
If your boy toy can't take the lead someday, you know, what good is that, right?
Yeah, that makes you literally not a boy toy.
Okay, so my favorite thing right now is on the Huffington Post on the right-hand side at huffingtonpost.com. There is the most popular section on the Huffington Post, and this is the post of the articles that are getting the most views.
Mm-hmm.
And Richard Branson, who I had a chance to recently meet, has 556,000 views of him kiteboarding with a naked model.
Oh, and, imagine that. Wow, that's crazy.
Now the funny inside humor of the Kerry campaign is that John in 2004 got a lot of grief for, you know, kiteboarding and windsurfing and stuff like that. And we realized, in a little bit of dark humor among our side, that the problem was that we didn't have a naked supermodel in the picture, in which case we would have had over 500,000 people on the Huffington Post check out the pictures.
And you could have won. Now, would Teresa have qualified for the nude sort of clinger honor? Because I'm looking at the photo now.
No, she would have qualified, but I think she might have been a little bit loath to do it. But Richard Branson is the only person in the world that could say to him, hey, I have an idea, Richard. Why don't you go kiteboarding with a naked woman on your back? And he'd smile and think it's a very good idea and go do it. So I met Branson at the inauguration.
I bet he's a really interesting guy, is he?
Oh, he's a very interesting guy. He was very, very nice, very, very down to earth. He was at the Western Ball that evening after the ceremonies, and just a really, really nice guy. And I told him that I admire him greatly for his business and his environmental stances and what he's trying to do in the environment, and also for the fact that the man works for 6.5-7 months out of the year from an island, that's in the British Virgin Islands. That sounds like a pretty good life to me. And, of course, you know, frankly, I have nothing against having, you know, naked supermodels clinging to my back either. So, pretty good deal.
How about radio talk show hosts from Detroit?
We can do that, too.
All right. Well, that's good. And that is the most popular. Isn't that funny? Have we not learned that lesson that sex sells? It is. I'm looking. It is the most popular or way up there.
Oh. And also, it's 556,000 people have seen those pictures just on Huffington Post. And the next story has about 350, and then it goes down to 300, and the one after that is 250. So it's not only is it winning, it's the proverbial landslide on the popularity contest in Huffington Post. So frankly, having seen the pictures, and I do like Richard, I don't think the popularity is necessarily to do with Richard on his kiteboard.
Really? Now, is he married or no?
I do not believe so, but I cannot promise that.
Because I think he was. The wife, I don't know, maybe she went along with it for a PR stunt, but that would be kind of a little, you know, just a little awkwardness that I'm doing this. But
yes, because there's pictures, the supermodel is clearly naked in the pictures.
I'm looking at it. She's naked and hot and skinny.
Yes. She seems quite happy, I think.
Happy's good these days. Happy is good these days. Not a lot of happiness going on. So what else attracted your attention? Actually, your old boss and dear friend, I know, James West, you guys don't know this, but John Kerry and he are very close. So he is on the front page. Abuse photos could be propaganda tool. But I think
showing the truth isn't always important.
Right. So where is he? Because James, this whole week on my show, we've had this raging dispute about it. My contention being, listen, I think that I had Michael Ratner on. There is no statute of limitations on prosecution. But what I do know, here, you know, we'll get to fun stuff again. But what I've been saying is, look, you know media, right? And mm-hmm. you know that there's media oxygen. And if we start to introduce hearings immediately, they're going to cover it. That's it. Everything else goes away. The political capital goes down. We don't pass cap and trade. We don't pass health care. I have been maintaining, why don't we do both? But start the investigation quietly off the scenes, do through budget reconciliation, cap and trade, and health care. Get those priorities that the American people have cared about and voted this guy in through. In other words, in a way, if we there is a side of this party that wants to commence immediately these hearings because they're so angry, they want to see it on TV, and I keep trying to say, much to my chagrin, and they're very upset with me about this, then your numbers go down. That gives your conservative Dems the cover to say, screw you, Obama. We're not going to do it. And all of that goes. So there is a choice. There is an inherent choice. If you want that first, then you're going to lose everything else. If you want it second, it can be done. And that's my view. When we come back, I really, James, because you know politics, you know media, you know all those things. So I would love your informed opinion about that, okay?
Yes, ma'am. I'll be ready.
Okay. He's ready. He's always ready. On Friday. The cold. Might go to my nose. James Boyce will give us his opinion on this whole debate we've had on the show all week. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629 on a Friday.
Friday.
On a great Friday. Friday, always a great day. So we will continue. Thanks. On the next great show. It's 22. Whatever. It's 4 minutes. I'm Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-646-2629 on a Friday with a code of Badoos. But that's okay. It happens. With my dear friend James Boyce, my boy toy on Friday with me, going through some issues. Before we get to some war frivolity, because I do have stuff for you, James, the raging issue on my show all week has been, I posed this question, which I guess was heretical, that, hey, listen, even though I agree with the fact that these guys may have committed crimes and they should be punished for them, there is something called political capital, and when we have to get through something like cap and trade, which is the mother of all bills, because you're fighting the absolute largest lobbyists on the face of the earth, the oil companies, to do it, you know, a $3 trillion industry, that maybe we could do that in the fall and get the cap and trade and healthcare things through now and then do both. And my listeners are so mad at me because they feel as if no, and I've had people actually call me and say, I don't care about the climate or healthcare. I would rather have Bush in jail than to protect the climate and to have health care, which I don't really have a good answer for, because to me that seems as crazy as some of those on the right that just wanted to see, you know, our people strung up. So how do you feel about the timing of this? You get media oxygen, James. You're on these shows. I've been watching nonstop torture coverage. Auto industry is going to go bankrupt in 6 days. Chrysler goes into Chapter 11. Already they're reporting that when they do that, the suppliers don't have enough liquidity to last. So those suppliers go out. They take out the other two. We're 6 days and counting from a massive Katrina-like event. But yet I still have people that think that proceeding with this, and they don't care about that, it's a side issue to pursuing these investigations now, not like in 6 months. It must happen today. How say you on this?
How say me? Me say? You know, I will agree and I will disagree with you in the sense that what I think is happening, you know, Nancy, and I don't think it's right or wrong, but clearly it's happening, is that there's a sense in the country among Americans, Republicans, and Democrats that the Bush administration did a tremendous amount of damage to our country, our standing, and our future.
Yeah.
In many, many
agree.
Areas.
Have. I was on the air one of the leading voices back in the 1997 when I started, is saying everything that they did, every violation, saying the war in Iraq was wrong, saying everything that they did. So it's not like I don't have credibility on that issue. So,
And I think that is the underlying narrative, that now people have really fixated in, and the torture issue has become to people more so than the damage that the Bush administration did to the economy, more so than the damage the Bush administration did by deregulating Wall Street and many other things that they did.
What about Kyoto? What about backtracking on Kyoto and essentially causing the planet to the rest of the world to revile us because we weren't on board, and now our window is like literally so small to affect that?
I totally agree. I mean, the sad thing is, inconvenient truth, we both recall Al Gore saying, we have 10 years to, scientists say that we have 10 years to act. And, of course, inconvenient truth now is, 4 years ago.
Right. Did I ever tell you, James, that I campaigned with your friend John Kerry? He came to Michigan, and he and I did an event together. I don't think I ever told you that. And it was about global warming?
Yeah. No, I think you did.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and John's been very good on
it. He's excellent on it. It's one of the top issues in his stump speech. It's right up there. So I know that he gets it.
Right. So my point is, though, that any one of those issues, I mean, particularly probably the deregulation of the financial industry, could have sparked a groundswell of people saying, no, I want to hold the Bush administration accountable for this. Torture, because of the pictures, because of the images, because, frankly, the morality of the issue has become the issue that people want to hang on the Bush administration. That they want this to be the thing that they hang on the Bush administration. And politically, not so much the White House, but on Capitol Hill, it'll be very hard to resist that groundswell of anger on the issue. So I think the best we can hope for is that, so I'm not suggesting that I think that the hearings need to start on Monday or in 2 weeks, but I don't think that they'll be able to hold them off for 6 weeks because I think people are truly outraged about it. And
you know what? What do grown-ups do? What do grown-ups do when they realize that can happen? I talked to Mike Ratner yesterday. There's a 10-year statute of limitations. We have this session with the Senate Democrats and Senate House to pass through climate change and health care, and we can still go back and do that. So,
yeah,
anyways, I got six seconds. So, listen, hang on, I'll let you answer that on the other side on the Nancy Skinner Show. Nancy Skinner Show. That's 1-888-64-NANCY or 1-888-OOH-NANCY. That translates into 646-2629. James Boyce, my boy toy. Oh, thank God. There's never been a better time for me to have my boy toy with me, and I will explain that later in the program. But let's get through some important stuff. So, James, we're talking about, I've just been saying, I know this is not popular to say, but listen, I've been working on climate change since 93, and I've been fighting the battles, got on radio because of it, and worked in the field, and worked on cap and trade. I helped invent the Chicago Climate Exchange. I launched that because I believe that is it, right? And all of a sudden, I think, not that I completely agree with everything said about the terrible thing. I was on the air saying all these things about the Bush administration and the torture and the war and all that stuff. But there is this reality of media oxygen. And the fact is, if we choose, we have to do it immediately now. Then what we're going to do, I know how this goes, you're going to get the publics, because I see the right side, the right, left, and the public throws their hands up and they say it's a partisan fight, and then Obama's numbers go down, cap and trade is history. You don't agree?
Yeah, I agree that it's a possibility. I don't think it's as absolute definite that it happened under that, as, like you laid it out. But I think the problem, Nancy, is going to be that there's a lot of pressure to have hearings, and there's a lot of pressure to take advantage, if you will, by the people that want to, you know, prosecute the torture crime.
Yeah, but you know what? But James, here's the thing. There was a lot of pressure during when I ran against Barack. There was a lot of pressure at that point to be for the war in Iraq. That was that the numbers were like 80 plus. And he and I were the only ones in a field of seven that said, you know what, it's the wrong war. And it was a very unpopular stance to take at the time. It was borne out to be the right stance. So sometimes, even though there is this almost, what is it, cathartic need to do this now, sometimes you have to take an unpopular stance and say, it isn't, you know, I get it, we can still do it. But it isn't now. And the left wing, I've gotten emails like you wouldn't believe saying, oh, you're not, you know, challenging me on this. It's like, because we have things that we have to do. we're not going to have, and they're going to run on this. We may not have all three houses, all three branches of government in the next election. This is it. This is the chance to do it. The statute of limitations does not run out. And right. So sometimes you have to go against what the popular opinion is to do what is right in your heart and your soul. That's how I feel about it.
I agree.
All right.
I think it's perfectly valid.
All right. So what else is going on?
Probably correct.
I'm watching the coverage, and I know how the media works. People say, "Oh, we can do everything at once." Well, we can't, because we are now in this 24-hour news cycle. We watch the cable news channels. We watch the internet. That we have there's a focus that modern media has brought to the public's attention that focuses the politicians as well, because they watch it, then they change their, you know, what they're working on, and it affects the whole political cycle. People don't get that. They think, you know, whatever. And so, you know, it's unpopular, but yeah, I've kind of always said, well, and Barack, when he supported the war, he was against the war in Iraq at that time. It was completely the worst possible political position he could have taken. And now I know that he must feel like, I want to do this, but not right now, because I got a global meltdown.
I mean, that's what they've said. I mean, that is the White House position. You know, I mean, the White House is not actively endorsed. And the White House is getting pulled along to the concept of, you know, pursuing the truth, if you will, on torture.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, it's like I said, I'm not disagreeing with you, Nancy, but all I'm saying that I think it's going to be difficult politically, because this is something that's been growing for 5 years, you know, since the Abu Ghraib picture.
It's almost like the Capone tax evasion. People feel like this is the thing that they can get them on,
It's what all the anger, even anger about the Bush administration about environmental issues, has people are galvanizing behind the torture issue. So because it's clear, there are pictures, there's a paper trail that Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, you know, Inner Sanctum of the White House prove this. It's clearly against the law. It's clearly torture. It's clearly in violation of the Geneva Convention. And I think people are looking at it, the people that do want to look back and prosecute the Bush administration, which I think neither of us are saying we don't want to do. In fact, I actively do want to do
it. I do as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the thing. I mean, this is a little bit, I think, the way the proponents of looking at the prosecute now argument are saying, I walked in the room, there's somebody dead on the floor, and I got the guy holding the smoking gun, and let's stick it to him now. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying I think that's what they're looking at it.
Yeah, but that's where grown-ups have to step in and say, you know what, I know it, I feel your pain, but they got to do the right thing. They really do, because we're not going to have this moment in history again, and scientists are saying we have this window right now to pass this. So I've had this raging dispute, trust me, with people about it. And I had people say to me, I don't care about the climate. It's more important to prosecute Bush and put him in jail than to protect the climate. To me, which I look at that and I go, that's about as ridiculous as anything I have ever heard on the extreme right, that you would rather have him in jail than protect all of humanity. All right. So anyways, make me feel better, James. What else is going on?
What else is going on? I don't know. I'm kind of clicking around. I mean, I'm looking at Daily Coast or something other than torture.
All right, so Daily Coast. So I caused a stir in Daily Coast. I'll tell you about yesterday. Because all right, so we are, as you know, I'm in Detroit, and my headlines are locally are really, really bad. GM announced that they're going to shut down their plants for 9 weeks, and that already immediately the supplier said we can't last 9 weeks without any cash flow. So that's already started. It's Katrina. It's the edge of Katrina has hit, and there's a 6-day deadline for Chrysler. Chase and other banks want to liquidate. I had the governor on yesterday. Her husband was in the studio. She's really mad about the banks and that they are holding our auto industry hostage. And I was watching Rachel Maddow, and I love Rachel Maddow. I think she's so smart, so intelligent. But I was watching her show, and she did 40 minutes on torture, which, courtesy of our beloved Carl Levin, his report did this, okay? So and what really, really upset me, James, is that instead of something important about, like, hey, we're 6 days to this implosion of one of the biggest industries that will affect the entire economy, she chose to spend 3 minutes attacking the new logo of the Detroit Lions, making fun of them specifically because they're 0-16 and they had the worst record in history, so they changed their logo to be a little bit scarier. So I wrote a post saying, are you kidding me? Daily, I walk around with people look with this look in their eyes like, you know, we feel like this Hurricane 5 is hitting us, and no one cares. A new poll came out. 75% of Americans would just rather assume that we all just die or go away. And Rachel Maddow, who I adore and love, spent that, not to talk about the industry, she spent 5 minutes talking about the fact that we changed our logo and our team, our football team sucks.
Right.
How do you feel about that? Do you think that's, I mean, I know she likes sports, and that, but honestly, honest to God, this is, we are 6 days from an economic catastrophe, not just here in Detroit. 1 in 10 jobs are related to this industry, James, and that Rachel, who I adore, because you know what, I'm one of these people who like really support women who do well. A lot of women don't. For me, it's always been the opposite. It's like, you go, girl. She's smart. She's brilliant. She, you know, I am happy she's broken that barrier. But and I watch her show every single night, and then to have her just rip into our logo instead of, like, talking about the plight of the industry, that we try to make it scarier. I'm telling you, it was like I wrote my blog post. It was like kicking a player down on the field. I personally winced when I saw that, and I know how people feel in this city, and I see them every day, and they watch that, and they went, oh, that hurt. It's as if no one, you know, the oxygen in media, it's ridiculous. And to just spend that time on our logo and the Lions who suck. You have a thought on that?
The Lions do suck.
They do suck. But yeah, to spend the time not talking about we're 6 days from countdown to liquidation of an industry that's going to cascade and be this thing, to spend that time talking about how we changed our logo. I mean, I know she didn't intend it to be anything mean or whatever. But
she intended to be disrespectful. I think.
But you know what? There's a disconnect there out there, James. I'm sorry. That what producer said that that's more important than kind of saying, oh, they have a 6-day deadline to liquidation. Let's just beat up on the logo of their really crappy football team.
I agree.
Right.
Bad call.
You're trying
bad
to make
call.
Me...
Bad call with my friends in MSNBC.
You're trying to make me happy now, and I'm working on it. What's going to make me happy?
What's going to make you happy? I don't know. The new supermodel pictures made me happy, but I could see how that, you know, wouldn't quite do it for you. So,
straight.
You
that's
know.
Not going to work.
No, it's not going to work. You know, I don't know. It's, you know, next week's going to be a big week. You know, I mean, it will be interesting to see what happens. You know, at the finish line of the issue with the auto industry. Obviously, you know, I was talking to somebody today about how the economy feels like it's not falling off the edge anymore, but we fall off the edge next week. You know, it's you know, it's going to be very difficult. You know, the auto thing is going to become front and center on Monday, and people will be talking about it, I promise you, as the week goes on. But it's going to be tough. Mm. It's going to be very tough, you
all
know.
Right.
And
well, James, we got a bunch of people on the phone. They want to comment on this.
Shoot.
Maybe they can make me happy.
Okay.
So we'll do that. We'll take a break, and I'll find something good. I did you see that Sound of Music video in, where was that, Craig? What train station? Antwerp, Belgium, man. Have you seen that?
No.
It's awesome. Oh, my God. It's they start blasting the Sound of Music, and they do it to a retro beat, and the entire place starts dancing. And it was this, like, spontaneous, well, it's not, it was obviously crafted for YouTube. It was a Susan Doyle Boyle moment, but it did make me happy for a moment. So when we come back, we'll take some calls, and James, well, during the break, try and think of something that's going to make me feel better, okay?
I'm looking right now.
Okay, so James is on it. He's on it. You're on the line. I'm on the internet. The Capitol's fine, getting the news. The president was just briefly relocated, because there's a plane that, you know, veered into airspace. No big deal on the breaking news there. And your calls are all next, so we'll get you. If someone could make me happy, I would really appreciate that. Got lots going on, and some news I got to talk to you about. So, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-NANCY or 646-2629. As we continue on a Friday on the Nancy Skinner Show. The effort to make me feel better on a Friday. It is the a really great video on YouTube where they're playing. Julie Andrews starts singing Do Re Mi, and the entire train station breaks out in dance and song. And that made me feel better, just like Susan Boyle or Doyle or whatever did. So that's what we're trying to do. My Friday Boy Toy is with me, James Boyce, one of the lead bloggers on Huffington Post, among all of his other accomplishments. So did you see that? You didn't see that video? You should check it out. Check it out, James.
I will.
It will. It's like, it's just all of a sudden they start dancing. It makes you feel better.
I think you need to keep playing it.
Yeah. Wait till you hear why.
Put that thing on a loop.
Wait till you hear why. Yeah. So here's where we are. It looks like this week we've got a couple of things going on the agenda. You know, here's my concern about the whole back and forth about this. Because I think what people don't realize, and what I've heard from a lot of my callers, is that we can just quietly do it all. You know, we can just quietly prosecute. Sure. And you know what, James, you know media. There's no such thing, man. They have promos and run-ups and blah, blah, blah. There's no quietly. And you're going to get Dick Cheney. You're going to get Karl Rove. All these guys are going to go on the... Torture was good. Torture worked. And you're going to get this whole other side to the story that it is going to... Here's my political calculation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in it. You've been in it. I've been in it. Mm-hmm. He's got a 66% approval rating right now. Probably can force through cap and trade and health care with that right now, because that's unheard of. But you go through a partisan thing, back and forth, hearings, that number's going to drop, because the independents, Obama didn't run on prosecuting Bush officials. So those people who are so-called independents or Republicans who voted for him, all of a sudden are going to, those numbers drop. The conservative Dems have more leverage to say, no, we can't, you know what I mean? I'm worried about my reelection. They don't pass that stuff. That's how it works.
Right.
Am I wrong about that?
No, I don't think you're wrong about that at all.
Then why is everyone so insanely, like, insistent that this happen Monday?
No, because I, like I said, Nancy, I think just where that's coming from is that this is what people are, this is the issue that people are grasping, that they want to punish George Bush. It's not so much that they want to hold George Bush and Dick Cheney and that group accountable for torture, I think, as it is so much they want to hold them accountable for something.
Right.
And this is what's in, this is the red meat in front of the, the dog right now.
Right. Now,
and,
did you see Frost Nixon? The movie?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God, you got to rent it. So I rented it the other night.
Busy.
Ed Nixon's on my show next week. His brother, Richard Nixon's brother. We booked him. He's got a book out. It's probably revisionist history. I just started reading it. But the movie's really fascinating and I think illustrative of this point because, you know, there were all those young researchers that really wanted to. It was David Frost, who was an Australian journalist, who got the interview, okay, after he was removed from office. And they all felt like that, you know, because that there was no prosecution, that they didn't get that satisfaction of closure, and they all felt like that's what they needed in this, you know, that even if you got that, you wouldn't get that confession. And so David Frost, who was kind of a lightweight in terms of his was entertainer, essentially. At first, he was light. It was a lightweight interview, but at the very end, his own integrity was at stake. And in his last interview, he elicited essentially a confession of Nixon, mm-hmm. which is a true story. I don't think you'll ever get Bush or Cheney to say, you know what, you guys are wrong. You guys were right. We did all this. And so the hoped for sort of vindication. Even though it's rightfully deserved. Now, some people will be happy if they're just behind bars. That will make them happy. But what the movie says is that even for people who are prosecuted, there just wasn't that closure issue that they felt, you know. They didn't get it. It's like, God, we went through all that. We didn't get it.
I agree.
All right. You have not made me happy yet, my boy toy. That's what boy toys are for. For God's sakes, why have a boy toy? Say something good on this Friday.
You're the best. I love your show, and you're the best.
All right. Well, you had to say that. What else are you going to say?
I didn't.
I know. All right.
I got other stuff I could do with my hour. I love coming on here.
I know. Well, we love having you, James. And next week will be funnier. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. James Boyce, Huffington Post. Check us out. He's had some great posts this week. So we'll have him on next Friday on the show, our boy toy. And if you're on the line, hang on, because that's it. No guests. Just you. I have to tell you, there's a lot going on, so I'm going to talk about it coming up on the Nancy Skin Show. And we've developed quite a relationship, and I'm very, very happy about that. I think I do owe everyone a little discussion of what's happening, because there's been some events, some developments in the whole radio situation. So it's Friday. Why not? Okay, so here's a story. For folks who are just tuning in to the show. Now, you know, how this whole show started out was that I was, had been in office and worked on the presidential campaign and then decided to get back into radio because I love radio. I love talking to people. I love getting out there and kind of getting my message out and hearing from you, really that two-way feedback. And I've always had this belief that you can have discussions with people of different perspectives, different political views, and basically because I think we're right in most of these. I never say I'm always right. I've lost some battles, surely. And so for me, this was a great challenge to do that. So I took over. I filled in for Randy Rhodes. Randy Rhodes, who's a friend of mine, was sick one day, or so I was told. There was a, you know, I needed to fill in on an emergency basis. If you recall the early days, and I had no time, zero, to prepare the show. I just showed up and said, "Whoa, we're like late." It was the day after the that U.S. Airways flight landed in the Hudson River, and I said, "We are landing this show in the Hudson River," because I literally had 5 minutes to do it. But I'm an old, old radio hand, so I figured, well, you can do this. Put my headsets on. I have my old, they're like 10 years old, ratty and stuff, but they're your blanket in radio. So we've done it. We've built this show, and when the syndicator, dear friends of mine, Shelley and Anita Drobny, went bankrupt, we said, let's just keep going. I found a fantastic financial partner who's built the show. We have new studios we're moving into. Just next week, in fact, they've been working on them, bells and whistles, everything to just move along and do television and do radio and do what it is that I do. But, it's kind of on the internet, so I'm not going to be one to just not talk about it. So what I learned yesterday is that, Randy Rhodes, who I, this is essentially, she left and her syndicator went bankrupt because of something I'm sure she'll explain to you when she gets back. She has now inked a new deal and she'll be back on the radio, May 11th with Premier Radio Networks. And that means for my listeners in Los Angeles, KTLK and KPOG, they are clear channel stations. So Premier is the syndicator that syndicates Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck, and now Randy Rhodes. And so she'll be back on the air May 11th, and because the Premier has a relationship with Clear Channel, as I understand it, those stations in Los Angeles, Portland, they don't really have a choice. They will be carrying her with, not that they're going to carry Rush and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck, but that is who she signed with. And she'll be back on the air. And although I have gotten so much response from listeners in KTLK and in KPOG and other places, that was sort of a, this comes down from corporate. You'll be carrying Randy Rhodes on May 11th. Now, I am sure to the Randy Rhodes fans who despise me because I do engage in debate and stuff, that's just great news. And that's good. And I like Randy and she's a friend of mine. I do find it somewhat ironic from those same folks who write me completely nasty emails about how I am a Fox News sellout somehow. I have to make one point in my own defense. Even though I've gone on Fox News for 10 years now to battle the right wingers, like four against one, I've never received a cent for any of the work I've ever done at this station. So you will have Randy, who is now signed on at Premier with Rush, Hannity, and Glenn Beck. And God bless her, because that's a big money. So she'll have they've made a lot of money for her. I'm sure congratulations. I wish her all the success. She'll have a big paycheck from Rush and Hannity and Glenn Beck to promote her show. So I know there are a lot of people out there that think I am just not, tough enough or whatever on KTLK and in Portland, KPOG. And so come May 11th, you will get what you want. You'll get Randy Rhodes. She's back. That was the news I got yesterday. And there was not really a whole lot of discussion about it, unless there's some groundswell Unless people say, you know what, maybe we do like this whole mixing it up and different perspectives kind of thing. So if you really do feel, I don't think it's going to change him, but that's what I was told. So if you really feel that, and I like Randy, she's a friend, happy that she's found her new gig and she's going to be well paid, because I never was. I just took over, scrambled, showed up every day, did my best to make this thing happen. And we're going to continue on for sure. I'm not going away. If you sign on to, this is why you really need to go to my website, nancyskinnerlive.com. There's a whole sign-up thing because we're going to be podcasting, streaming, and we'll be on new affiliates. So if you don't want to lose me, you need to sign up now. And if you have an opinion about it, then you should, you know, contact KTLK and KPOG in Portland and tell them how you feel. You know, maybe you feel like, thank God she's gone. She's just not... She's just not, you know, whatever, left enough, or she doesn't want torture, or whatever it is, because I've heard those emails. But I've also heard from a lot of people that feel like I've tried to create a debate that is listens to the other side, a little bit of fun, a little bit of spirited debate. And so I can't, it's all over the internet. There's no way I could not talk to you about it. That's what it is. So Randy's back. I know there's a lot of people who are so happy, because I get the most hate-filled emails, I must say, saying, you know, just that how awful I am, and they can't wait. Well, I like it. Randy's my friend, and I know she would never condone this, but you'll have her back. So I will be gone from KTLK in Los Angeles and KPOJ, according to the news release, in Portland, not my other affiliates, and we're going to continue to move on and keep going. But they do want to hear from you. They expressed to me that they want to know what your reaction is to this. So if you go to KTLK, what is that? KTLK AM. KTLK AM1150.com, I think is we don't know KPOJs. We'll get that to you. Just let them know. That's good. If you're happy, I'm not going to say it either way, but I think you are the listener, and so it's incumbent on you to, you know, weigh in, and I'm not going to hide anything from you. But people say, oh, don't even bring it up on the... It is what it is. So she signed with Premier. She's on with the state. It's the best syndicator. It's Rush, Hannity, Beck, and Randy Rhodes. So congratulations to Randy. She's in with a lot of money. Good for her. That's good in radio. The only thing that really got me was for the emails I got from people who said I was a shill because I went on Fox. I really felt like I needed to tell you this. I never got a cent in 10 years. I spent a lot of my life getting ready, researching the topic, getting makeup, doing all that stuff. Never got a cent from those folks. And I know people are going to be really, really happy that I'll be gone and Randy's back. And here you have it. So on these stations, doesn't mean I'm going away because I'm not a quitter, not a fighter, never have. I've had lots of setbacks in my career. If you follow my life, it is the story of setbacks. Pick up the pieces, make some. We have brand new studios. We're moving into next week. We have TV. We're doing all this great stuff. And then I get the news after the show yesterday that because it's Clear Channel and Premier is owned by Clear Channel, they essentially had no choice. And there was not like a lot of the, even though I got from program directors, you are awesome. People love you. This is good. They had, their hands were tied unless there's a groundswell. So I don't know. Randy's my friend, and I know she has a lot of loyal listeners for many, many years. But I felt it necessary to be honest with you that's what happened. And it's the first time in my life. Actually, it's kine of a frequent sine wave thing for me. So you roll with the punches. You just do your best. You know, I believe in trying to find wisdom. And cut through a lot of the nastiness, yeah, for the betterment of all of us. And, you know, maybe that's not the best thing. Sometimes it hurts me. But not abandoning that principle. And Randy's a good friend, and she's going to be back. So I'm happy for her. And I felt it was my obligation to share that with you. I know it's on the internet. You know, I promised to be honest with you, and that's where we are. So take your calls on that. Take your calls on this, these other issues we put out before you. It's 1-888-64-NANCY or 1-888-0-NANCY. I got some really mean emails, actually, when that news came out. Like, she's back. Ciao. You know, don't let the Lord hit you. The good Lord split you. Hasta la vista. With really, really bad name calling to me. So, what was my best night last night? Let's just put it that way. You know what? I'm not a quitter. Never have been. Dad's a football coach. And this isn't about me and Randy, because she's a friend. But we're going to keep going. Because I believe there's an audience for debate, discussion, and advancement of issues. And that's what we're going to do. But I know you're going to want to weigh in, so I'm going to give you that chance. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 646-2629. Programming. We for our listeners on KTLK, Clear Channel listeners and KPOG, I got word yesterday that Randy Rhodes is making her return. And so that was kind of a corporate dictate. She signed with Rush, Hannity, and Glenn Beck. Not to disperse anything at her, but she got the mother of all great deals. And so congratulations to her, but that means you won't have me. We'll continue on. That's why you really need to go to my website, nancyskinnerlive.com, and sign up, because as we move along here with podcasting and news stations, we want you to know where we are. And I'm congratulating Randy Rhodes. That she's coming back onto radio. I've had my mixture of emails about all this, because some people are so, you know, some people can be cruel, really, honestly. I do a different kind of radio. My whole philosophy is just a little different. I appreciate Randy's. Mine's just different. But for all you folks who've just written me endlessly that you just can't wait to have her back, guess what? You do. Let's go to John in L.A. Hi, John.
Hello.
How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. I never was much of a fan of the Clear Channel KTLK station, but the fact they do have some more progressive voices on, I would occasionally call in, and I'd talk to you, and I tried talking to Randy a number of times, and I will say this to everybody listening, that the need for toleration in this country is great. And I do believe that Nancy Skinner tolerates other opinions than her own better than Randy Rhodes or Rush Limbaugh. And I'm not going to say that you're any saint there, Nancy. I don't know you. But damn you with saint
praise.
You're
right with that, John. I'll assure you, no
but,
saint.
But no, I do not approve of the way the call screeners treated me and she treats her listeners in terms of respecting their different viewpoints. The different viewpoints. Her call screeners are more censors, I think, than people who just find out whether someone's a total nutcase or versus a minor deviant from the Rhodes or the Rush Limbaugh line. So I'm sorry.
You know, I mean, my whole sort of approach has been, John, you know, that I think we've had this right-left division for so long, and even though I am a Democrat and I put my skin in the line on the game so much, I just think that the discussion is so much more interesting and that, you know, we're all human beings. And so even though sometimes people say things that really make my skin crawl, I'm going to listen to them and let other people listen. And we're going to get further in life if we do that. That's just my own personal approach.
You did just touch on another important thing, the right and left kind of bogus argument. That's where the discussion needs to change, the thought of one side versus the other.
We have 20 seconds, John. If you really feel strongly about this, though, John, you know, the stations do have input. So KTLK, 1150AM.com, and KPOJ. You know, let them know. Either way, they can maybe accommodate all of us. Nancy Skipper. We will get it back. Always has. It's Nancy Skinner on the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64-NANCY or 1-646-2629. I guess we're just kind of reacting. I just wanted to let y'all folks know. I got some news last night that for so many people, they're very, very happy that Randy Rhoads is back. We'll be back on the airways on May 11th, syndicated by Premier Networks. So that's the biggest. That's Rush Limbaugh. That's Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck. And now Randy Rhoads. So, and it's good for her. She's a friend, and she found her spot back on radio. That means I will no longer be on KTLK or KPOG, those clear channel stations, which are in they own Premier. So they have no choice there. So it's funny to get the response from people. I thought I'd just put it out there because unless there's some groundswell is what I was told. Let's see. So, you know, hey, what the hell? She's my friend, but here we go. This is the email I got from, let's see. Fred says, you belong on Fox, not on progressive radio. As a Californian, I'm sick of listening to you whine about Michigan. Thank God Randy's coming back because you are not a progressive. You are a Michigan hillbilly. Adios. I got lots of those last night. Even though I got Fox, I had to make that point. I've never gotten a dime out of Fox. Certainly not on the payroll of those who are getting paid by Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck. Got to tell you that. So, little chip there for all of you folks who've said, I'm a shill because I go on Fox. I've never, in 10 years of taking my life up, ever received a dime for fighting those people. But that is the way it is. If you want to talk to KTLK in Los Angeles, it's KTLK 1150 AM. It's 818-559-2252. Okay? And the KPOJ is 620kpoj.com is their website. Their phone number is 503-323-6400. And I'm not saying to change this, but a lot of people are asking me, you know, they want to, of course, stations want to know input, and if there's a way, a lot of people are saying a lot of way to get us both on, that would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Because I love Randy, and I'm glad she's got a really well-paying gig, and that's good. But I felt it was, I'm always honest with you, and I share my emotions on my sleeve. I'm Pisces. So that's how I feel, we picked up the ball at a really rough moment. We ran with it. We got a new studio. We're going to continue this thing in our own right, and there's room for lots of diverse points of view on the radio. So a lot of people want to react to that, and I thought, well, that's only fair and right. So we're going to do that. Ed is in Los Angeles. Hi, Ed.
Hi. I wanted to say that I quit listening to K-Talk from noon to 3 until you came on the air. Now I listen to it all day, and when Randy Rhoads comes back, I'll quit listening from noon to 3 again.
Well, why is that? I mean, you know, Randy's a smart woman, and she's got a lot to say. That's not what I'm suggesting here.
No, but people are often accused of buying dogs that appear in their own physical resemblance, and I suppose she's probably a bulldog, because once she gets on a tough topic, she never lets go.
You know, that's actually kind of a lot of people feel they criticize me because I'm not meaner, I'm not nastier, and that's sort of a talent. Look at Mark Levine and Hannity; those guys. That actually is a really good talent for hosts. I just never subscribed to the. I just think that there is a third way, and I think there is a way in radio that you can have a really defined point of view and debate the other side without, you know, having to resort to that. We have different styles, and I love Randy. She's done stuff for me. I'm glad to see she's back on her feet. This is not about Randy, but
no, it's all about style, and I appreciate your style, and I love your flat A's.
My flat A's. All right, Ed, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Okay. Well, hey, listen, write the station.
I got the numbers and the address.
818-559-2250. They wanted to know. They said, hey, let us know how people feel. So I said, all right, then I'll put it out there. And maybe there's room for both of us. That would be the best possible scenario. Let's go to Irvine and talk to Rita. Hi, Rita.
Hi. Well, I guess the first thing I'd want to say is this, that she's actually with all the other angry people. And the man who just preceded me, I agree, I stopped listening. As much as I used to like to listen to Randy, I stopped listening when she just constantly just, like he said, a bulldog, never let go of an issue. And plus the fact of what she said about Hillary Clinton didn't amuse me in the least. But the thing is that I'm going home to Michigan next week, so I really don't consider myself a hillbilly, a Michigan hillbilly.
Yeah.
Nobody from my family were really not hillbillies. Kind of educated and, you know, okay. But, I just called my brother. He lives in Royal Oak, and I said to my brother, do you know who Nancy Skinner is? And I said, you know, she's a progressive talk host. Radio talk host, and let's try to meet her for drinks.
I live in Royal Oak.
I know, so does my brother.
Oh, really?
So that's what I said. I just called him and said, let's try to meet her for drinks, because she's cool.
Well, send me an email, nancy@nancyskinnerlive.com.
Okay. No, and I'm really sorry. I mean, like I said, I used to really enjoy Randy until she just got off on her tangents, and, you know, I'm definitely sorry, and hopefully we'll be able to keep you, because you definitely are good, and you laugh like I do. So.
My giggle that bothers everybody.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me. I enjoy it because I do the same thing.
Well, good, Rita. I think that we all need to laugh in these crazy times. Call the station, let them know.
Oh,
okay?
I will.
All right.
Totally. Thanks. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Rita. Okay. Moving right along, 1-888-646. Nancy, that's 646-2629. I'm just letting people vent because this is how it has to happen. It's part of the process. Let's go to Ed in Redondo Beach. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Nancy. This is the Ed Show today, I guess. listen, I think that you offer a different product than Randy in the sense that she offers a lot of red meat for the faithful, and there's a need for that. And mm-hmm. you offer kind of more of a forum for the intramurals within the left. Differing ideas about who should move forward on what issue for when and things of that sort, and there's a need for that too. I mean, there's a need for the red meat stuff keeps us fired up and keeps us running strong, but we do need to be able to talk to ourselves and hash out our priorities, and I think that's kind of more what you put on offer, so I appreciate that being part of the radio mix that I have. I think that's kind of the essence of the thing is that what are we going to have in our progressive radio mix? It's still a relatively small universe, so I think there's still a certain amount of listeners that feel, you know, hey, I want this or I want that, and it's a zero sum game. If I don't get this, then I lose it. I think we need to be thinking more expansively that there's going to be enough room, in the days to come. We're a movement that's moving forward, and progressive radio has gained a lot of space over the last 5 years, and we're going to continue to gain bandwidth as time goes on. And so, I think there's a place for both.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you on that, and thank you so much. I appreciate you saying so. All right, Ed.
Take
Thanks
care.
A lot. Okay. It's 1-888-64 Nancy. We're just I want to. It's May 11th. We have some time, but the news is all over the internet, and I'm just not a big believer in like make believe stuff and not addressing things as they are. I pretty much lay myself out bare in emotions for you all, as you've seen over the last 3 months, and so. No point to hold back. Now, Randy's coming back May 11th, and I was told since it's a corporate decision she signed with Premier, that's Rush and Hannity and Beck, and the Clear Channel stations then don't really have a choice. I won't be with you, but I will be on in San Luis and Buffalo, the other stations we're on. I'll be on, and we'll be adding stations, new studios coming up, so I'm not going anywhere. And a lot of people, I just want them to know that Randy, they'll be very, very happy to have Randy back on the air. Let's go to Lewis in Los Angeles. Oh, Anaheim. I'm sorry. Hi, Lewis.
Hi, Nancy. I don't think Randy Rose is going to last because, you know, she loses it completely. She gets she gets nasty, like your caller said. She made it back a few times, and she was gone in no time. I don't think she's going to come back unless she has as many crazy people as many crazy listeners as Sean Hannity. She's not going to make it. I am sure you're going to come back on this station, KTSK. You are more like Ron Reagan. He's my favorite talk show host. You're very calm. You bring moderates to our party. Randy drives away moderates, and we don't need a person like that. I'm sorry to say this. I love Randy, but I think she's the wrong person to help us, you know, bring people into our party.
Well, you know, there's a place for all of it on that smorgasbord, isn't there, Lewis? You know, there's kind of Randy and I know we're different, but that's kind of the way it is. It's like there always is that place for someone who's gonna, you know, lay it out there and rip it up. It's just not my person. My human being is about, like, come on, you know, we gotta get, because we have so many problems
right.
out there. And I try to bring humor to it, and I do, and I enjoy radio, and I think there's room for everyone, but it won't be, I don't think, unless you call KTLK and say, get us both on.
Will do.
So I hope
Randy will change.
Here's the station. Here's the number, 818-559-2252. Okay? So that's KTLK 1150am.com, Krieg? Okay, yeah. So that's the number. But I appreciate it. I just felt like it was my responsibility to share with you what was happening. Kind of, instead of just disappearing into the night and having go, what happened to Nancy? So we'll have to May 11th to figure this out. But I'm not going anywhere. Except for Mexico for 2 days, but got some business down there. Just joking. Patricia's in Sacramento. Hi, Patricia.
Hey, Nancy. Nancy, listen, I'm a Randy Rhodes fan, too, but you know what? I have to tell you, I absolutely love your show. I love your points of view. I like the way how you open up. You know, you get people into this critical thinking mode and into looking at things from different angles and not being so, you know, centered on one idea. And I really like that. I admire that. You know, I think you're very intelligent and you're very articulate. And I have to tell you, you know, like I said, I like Randy Rhodes a lot, but I really, really enjoy your show. And for those people writing you those emails, I have to tell you, Nancy, these are not real progressives. I'm sorry. It's hard for me to have people like that who think that way. You know, that Randy's great, but, you know, Randy is not the only person who represents the progressive voice. There's many voices. I mean, the perfect example is the last gentleman who just called in. Why I like Tom Hartman as much as I like your show? Because Tom Hartman gets a lot of conservative listeners. They come into the show because he doesn't turn them away, and he gets them to understand the issues and why it's important, why us Democrats think the way we do, and how it's to their benefit, instead of driving these people away and saying, you know, you guys are just idiots.
Yeah.
You know what
and
I mean? So that's what I'm saying. That's what your show brings,
goal,
and that's what I'm doing.
My goal has been that. That's my goal. Hearts and minds. Now, I'm always thinking, how do we actually just change hearts and minds so that we can really get this stuffed on? You know?
Absolutely. So please, you know what I mean? Just understand. I think you're absolutely fabulous. So keep
sign up at my website, okay, Nancy at nancyskinnerlive.com, so we can let you know what I'm doing. We're going to be podcasting, streaming, moving on. Contact, are you in L.A.?
No, unfortunately, I listen online.
Okay, well, you know, contact your local station. Because anyone, if you're listening online, by the way, if you go to my website, it says locate your local station. And you could find the local talk station, and you could send them an email saying, we love this Nancy Skinner, because we're going to be going out to other stations. So you, even if I'm not on in your locale, you listen online, you can go there, find your local talk station, and send them an email. And I tell you, this works. I hear from PDs going, oh, my God, I got so many emails or so many calls about you that it's ridiculous. And they're picking this up. So it does work. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, great. We'll get more of your calls in. Just had to break some news to you. And believe in honesty is the best policy. So here you go. That was my rough night last night. Pick up the pieces. I've had lots of Lord. If you've gone through the story of my life, the ups and downs, that's what it is for all of us, though. So, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's the story. We'll continue with this for a few more minutes on the Nancy Skinner Show. Announcement that Randy Rhoads is coming back to the air. My friend Randy Rhoads has secured a gig with Premier, the best radio. The syndicators of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck now will be syndicating Randy Rhoads. And that means for the Clear Channel stations, where I am on, heard at KTLK and KPOG, since they're corporately involved, I'm out of here May 11th. doesn't mean I'm going anywhere, though. Let's see. 24, what's that about? 866. What did I say? KPOJ. What's that? All right, here we go. Let's move on to the phones. In Chicago, my old stomping ground, Chicago, Nancy in Chicago. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Well, I'm just calling to say wherever you go, I will be following because I've been following your career since WLS.
Oh, my. Oh, I was on radio before that, because a lot of people think I'm just a novice, a Republican plant.
No. Believe me, I was glued to you all the time on WLS. In fact, I email WCPT here in Chicago about once every other week, get Nancy Skinner on. So I'll still be fighting that fight. But, no, I will stream you. People should go to your website, fight for it if they're going to lose you, the affiliate, because you are fair and you're balanced and you're intelligent and, you know, it's refreshing. It's refreshing and you're right. When you talk so religiously extreme, you just push people away and you don't do that. So, I think that you bring both sides to the, you know, to the forefront, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and you have a great name, too.
Well, he said, are you calling to speak to Nancy, or are you Nancy, your phone person? No, I'm Nancy, too.
All right, Nancy, thanks so much. Sign up and get Chicago, man. Get me back in Chicago. That's
yeah,
what I need.
I've been fighting it. Okay.
Thanks, Nancy.
Alrighty. All right. Bye.
Let's move along and talk to J.G. Hi, J.G.
Hi, Nancy. I was one of the first out here in L.A. to welcome you. I said I liked your giggle. Remember that about a month ago?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, why do we have this Hobson's choice? Should we bomb Iran or bomb Russia? Why can't we have both?
I think you can. I think you need to call the station and ask for that.
I did. I asked them to get rid of Ron and have you too.
Well, I hate that whole thing, but you can have both. I think that's a possibility. So, because I've gotten a lot of really great support from those two stations, and so I don't see where there is a choice.
I know you have a lot of listeners here in LA, as you can tell by the calls today.
Yeah. So it's 818-559-2252. Is the number to the station. If you didn't already call, there you go, JG. And thanks for liking my giggles, because my mom even gave me a hard time about that. All right. Let's see. We're going to go to Lynn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm well, thanks.
Anyway, I just want to say I agree with the people that think we should have both. I think Randy is brilliant in her ability to research and uncover items. But I love that you open the forum. With Randy, it's sort of very one-sided. And you have a forum. You actually let it go both ways. And I've had so many disagreements with people that KTLK loses, you know, the Ed Schultz's and the Franzolinas that they play games with. So I'm definitely going to call to keep you on. And I'm glad Randy's coming back, but we could lose some of those, you know, some of the more extreme or some of the annoyances. The Midnight Show drives me crazy. So I love you. I love what you do. And I hope that we get you in L.A. without stopping.
Well, thanks, Lynn. I appreciate it. Call him because I think there's room for everyone. I do. We need a lot more of our voices, frankly, on the air. I'm Nancy Skinner, making this the Nancy Skinner Show. Nancy, I must say, Pepto-Bismol stocks should be selling big time in Detroit today. Given the roller coaster of news in the industry, the big news today, as I said, is that looks like there is some, we're getting closer to that, the word surgical bankruptcy for General Motors. Chrysler's clock is ticking as well. And the banks are holding out. Apparently. Let's talk about what all this means, what's going on with Mark Phelan, who is the best auto critic slash reporter in Detroit at the Detroit Free Press, and has been following this thing, well, for years. Hey, Mark, is it getting interesting for you now?
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, a reason to get out of bed every day.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, hopefully for at least another month or so. So, all right, what's going on? I mean, the big news here today is Wall Street Journal, and a lot of people are reporting that they are closer. That the auto task force, they were here. We knew they were here last week, right? So they are closer to saying that we have to go into something called this is General Motors surgical bankruptcy. Can you describe what that means?
Not with any detail, because nobody's ever done it before. This is experimental surgery.
Great.
The big hang-up seems to be that the bondholders, the you know, individuals and companies that hold GM's debt, are reluctant to take as much of a cut on the face value of the debt as the government thinks that they have to. And all of the talk about, you know, bankruptcy seems to be a way of, you know, this is the stick that the government, you know, is threatening to beat them with if they don't come to some sort of a deal. General Motors.
When you say bondholders,
yes.
Let's be clear. We are talking about, I know this to be the case in Chrysler, we are talking about the banks, the big banks that got TARP funds, billions and billions and billions of TARP funds, are now the recalcitrant parties, are now, in Chrysler's case, essentially holding them hostage, preferring them to liquidate, and are the last ones to play nice in the sandbox with GM.
That appears to be the case with Chrysler. With GM, it's more complicated because Chrysler has a relatively small number of major bondholders, maybe 50 of them, and most of them are the big banks. In GM's case, it's got hundreds, maybe thousands. Relatively few of them are banks. They're investment funds and private individuals. And on the one hand, the government has not already helped them out with the, you know, various rescues the banks have gotten, so the government has less leverage that way, and it's harder to negotiate with a crowd of 1,000 than it is with, you know, a bunch of people you can all get around one conference table. So the big problem seems to be convincing those small individual bondholders and the institutions that the government's serious. If they don't agree to taking, you know, maybe a 90% reduction, so they only get 10 cents on the dollar, they may get nothing because the government will say bankruptcy is the only alternative. And then we get into the whole question of what's a surgical bankruptcy and how do you make it work? And is it possible to make it work, frankly?
Right. Okay, so these two, one question at a time. So they could be individuals and they could be pension funds. There's numerous bondholders.
Yes.
So that makes it more difficult to get a deal, correct? Because yeah. you're dealing with just multiple parties. But if you send them a note saying, hey, folks, your asset is about to lose 95% of its value. Or I mean, isn't that ultimately, Mark, what they're facing? A bankruptcy, like if they go like liquidation, they lose everything. So isn't it 90% or everything?
I think you're right, which is part of the reason that I'm a bit baffled that they are so recalcitrant. I mean, nobody wants to, you know, take 10 cents on the dollar, but if the option is nothing, you take the 10 cents. I don't really understand why this is, you know, has become such a huge sticking point, but it was apparently just about the biggest problem that the government had with the viability plan that, you know, GM had turned in, and now the government is having the same problems that GM did getting these bondholders to come to the table and negotiate.
Mm-hmm. And here's the tricky part, is that they are interrelated now, because this is something that apparently has not been impressed upon folks, that Chrysler has, what, their May 1st deadline. They had less time. But if they go down, if these big banks, because they have secured debt, if they go down, who are the suppliers, Mark, that say Chrysler and GM share in common? And because we've heard this refrain that the suppliers can take GM down. If they go down, if Chrysler does, the suppliers do, and that really is going to make it tough for them, for GM to survive.
Absolutely, and all it takes is one key supplier. If there's a supplier that makes a piece that General Motors needs for its transmissions, and it goes out of business because it makes that same piece for Chrysler, there are no transmissions from General Motors, and there's nobody else who can build it. So all of a sudden, General Motors has to shut down all of its plants as well. I mean, it only takes one domino to get the whole table cleared off so that nobody's left standing.
Yeah. You'd think the Auto Task Force, though, now that they've dug in to the situation, would understand that.
I think they do, and they have, you know, approved money to help some of the suppliers. The automakers are, you know, saying, here are the suppliers that are most important to us, and there's some aid going to them right now. But the heart of the problem seems to be that the task force can agree, General Motors can agree, but if there are people who are holding bonds that are legal documents and they get stubborn and say, no, I don't think, I think you're bluffing, I can get a better deal than this, there's not much that, you know, the government, you know, or GM can do about it.
So let's go over to Chrysler, because they have their own situation over there going on with Fiat. That was essentially their last hope, their lifeboat, if you will, given the pirate, the banks. I said this the other day, Mark. It's like the pirate scandal broke out, and I'm like, tell me I'm not the only one that is thinking of these bankers as pirates right now.
Given the venture capital people who bought into Chrysler and said, oh, this is going to be easy to fix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You can see them sailing under the Jolly Roger easily enough, too.
Right. So they are in talks. Fiat is in talks with Chrysler. They've still got the problem with Chase, who's really holding out. They don't want to swap for equity. But Fiat is trying to work through a subsidiary, their U.S. subsidiary, to make something happen. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, well, Fiat owns Case New Holland Tractors, which is one of the biggest agricultural and construction manufacturers in the world. Case New Holland is based in the United States. It qualifies perfectly, properly, and legally for some aid under one of the government funds to help get financing going. If it can get that financing to help, you know, farmers buy tractors and construction companies buy, you know, cranes and bulldozers, that reduces the pressure on Fiat to put its own cash into that, and that, you know, frees up some of the money that Fiat's got in Italy for perhaps being used to help Chrysler. So it's not a case of any taxpayer money flowing directly to Italy, but the fact that Case New Holland gets some money means that Fiat can then spend its own money on Chrysler.
So enough of that we don't have to worry about Chase and the bondholders, or we don't know?
No, they can still pull the plug on the whole thing. They need, part of what's maddening about covering Chrysler is because it's privately held and there are so few people at the table, it's hard to know what are the sticking points. But we know that, you know, the main banks that own Chrysler debt, and also Daimler, which still owns 19.9% of Chrysler, are both holding out for what they think are better terms that they hope that they can get. And, you know, again, all of them are looking at a deadline, you know, that's 2.5 weeks away, when, you know, they may get nothing. But they don't seem to be feeling a real sense of urgency yet.
Now, when will they? So the U.S., I think the government also is realizing that their loans are going to have to be converted as well. They've made loans, interest-bearing loans to the auto industry. Is that part of the reason that they are going in saying, look, if we're going to have to convert these loans into equity, you guys are going to have to do it?
That's part of it. And also, if they do end up going with the bankruptcy option, a loan is a loan is a loan. And a government loan, you know, I would imagine, does not, you know, have a whole lot better chance of being repaid by a bankrupt company than the, you know, loan that, you know, some bondholder invested in.
Mm.
So, you know, bankruptcy, you know, certainly, you know, trashes the idea of anybody getting, you know, money back from the loans. And the government, I think, if it takes the government agreeing to reduce the percentage of their loan that they get expected to get paid back to convince the bondholders that this is deadly serious, the government, you know, I would think would probably be willing to do that, but, you know, that's pure speculation on my part.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Mark Phelan. He is the top guy over at the Free Press reporting on autos. We are at crunch time, folks. Hey, Mark, when we come back, I want to ask you about why this doesn't seem to be penetrating the national media and consciousness as much as it should, really. We are at the end of a clock of an industry that could have a huge effect. All this positive momentum that's going on with the economy, President Obama spoke about it today, and we're this close to having taking some major steps backwards if this is not worked out. And it just, when we come back, I'm up against my clock here. I'd like to ask you, well, why you think this isn't getting the oxygen it deserves. Mark Phelan is my guest. Hold on the line, 1-888-64-NANCY. The number to the program, folks, I'm telling you, this is the red flag everyone needs to be talking about. The pirates, interesting, not relevant to your immediate future, I assure you. This question, what we're talking about, very relevant to the entire economy. More to come on the Nancy Skinner Show. Nancy Skinner Show. I'm Nancy Skinner, 1-888-64-NANCY. A lot of news, a lot of very, very important news concerning the auto industry today that seems to be overshadowed by pirates. And I'm very, very happy that the captain was rescued, obviously. But in terms of our immediate future here in our national economy, this is it, folks. Mark Phelan is with me from the Detroit Free Press. And before the break, I asked Mark this very important question. It seems to me that as we tick, we have less than a couple weeks with Chrysler, and month with GM. But it doesn't matter, folks, because they're all related. And we're up against this deadline with very complicated negotiations ongoing. Some talk of surgical bankruptcy, which Mark says we've never done anything like that before. It's not like it's some standard operating procedure. And yet, the whole idea of what's going on with the banks and the autos just doesn't seem to be getting out there in the national conversation. Mark, why do you think that is? Are we just tired of hearing it? Is the national media, is it too complicated for them? Is it not as exciting as a pirate story? What?
All of the above. I mean, first of all, people are sick and tired of hearing guys in pinstriped suits saying, "Oh, business is in trouble, we need some money." And they're not distinguishing between the different kinds of businesses and what they do and how big the impact they have on the economy is. Second, there seems to be a willingness to pour money into financial operations in Washington that manufacturing has a hard time getting the same level of attention. And this may be because manufacturing is really complicated and tough to do. It's probably in part because the American automakers, you know, wore out a lot of goodwill when they were building subpar vehicles, and, you know, people are reluctant to believe that they're capable of building good ones now, you know, that they are building good ones now and they're capable of making money going forward. There just seems to be a feeling somehow that Americans don't think that we need to make stuff anymore, that somehow, you know, manufacturing and farming and jobs where, you know, you get dirt under your fingernails and grease in your clothes are beneath us. And, you know, we're the only industrialized country in the world that feels that way. And
it's bailout. It's, and so it's kind of bailout fatigue in general, and just the lack of understanding of what the loss of auto slash manufacturing, the impacts that really will have down the pipe.
Absolutely.
But I think that the President Obama understands this, and you write about the poll numbers on this. They're terrible. 70% say there should be no additional funds going to the auto industry. But I think that the task force and the president understand how central this is to our economic recovery, and they're willing to move forward kind of even despite these terrible poll numbers. The question is, can they? I mean, do they have the authority at this point if the banks are holding out and you've got all these parties, even if they are going to buck the public opinion and the polls and do the right thing, Can they technically do it with the authority they have, Mark?
That's when bankruptcy comes into the question. If the banks won't play ball, if they don't agree to work with the companies and the government, you pull the plug, you go into bankruptcy, and you do it all in the court system where the rules are set and the government has the upper hand.
So the bankruptcy, but the problem there is once you pull that trigger, did you see that article by the guy who runs Kelly Blue Book? They did a study about, given the new plan, if you were guaranteed your warranty by the federal government, would you still buy an American car? The numbers were terrible. Even with this warranty plan, something like 60% said no. They wouldn't even consider it. So, I mean,
bankruptcy has got the stink of failure associated with it, and people don't want to take the risk, and even if they're assured that there's no risk, it just looks and feels wrong to people to sign over thousands of dollars and 5 years, you know, worth of monthly payments to a company that's bankrupt.
And everyone uses the airline industry as some sort of, well, it had happened before. They don't understand the vast difference between one $200 flight and a 10-year commitment to a car.
That's it. I only need the airline to stay in business for the 2 hours that I'm on the plane.
Yeah. Well, Mark, hey, we appreciate you keeping us updated. I'm up against my clock here. I'll be on Fox News talking about, I'm going to do everything in my power to sound the alarm bells here. I know you are as well, for the sake of the whole country, and I really appreciate you joining me today to clear it up.
Thank you, Nancy.
Mark Phelan from the Detroit Free Press. 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program, folks. It just doesn't get any more pressure strewn than this.
Girl, I want it, you got it, your body's like a narcotic, the thought is autoerotic. Come on and break it on down. Can I get it on credit against your brick house? I'll bet it, take it as far as you let it. Come on and break it on down. In less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by our petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps it's fate that today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution, but from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live, to exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday, but as the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
my friends, is what Detroit is celebrating their independence at some point. And this is a reason I'm thinking of this on the Nancy Skinner Show is that Krieger, leave me alone. This is there is a point here that I'm thinking this surgical bankruptcy thing through, right? And I'm thinking, you know, this is the idea of going in and doing the surgical bankruptcy. It's like the movie The Independence Day, where they actually had to go in Will Smith had to infect this asteroid with some virus to lower its immunity so that they could fly a nuclear weapon right at the exact spot and blow up this asteroid and somehow then we were saved. That's kind of the challenge we have before us in terms of the upcoming, should it come to pass, so-called surgical bankruptcy with the auto industry, in my view. That is my analogy, and I'm sticking to it on the Nancy Skinner Show. 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. I talked about yesterday the idea that everyone's, you know, blaming the retirees and they haven't come to the table. You've seen me on Fox News saying that, in fact, they have come to the table. And who do you think is going to pay for the retirees? Do you think that they're going to be able to go into bankruptcy and just all these people who have spent their whole lives and now are relying on this are going to be just strewn aside? Or do you think that the taxpayer will somehow have a responsibility anyways? So we might as well have a going concern than just paying for these retiree benefits. And lo and behold, there was a piece today in the Detroit News by David Shepherdson, who is with the Washington Bureau of the Detroit News, about the fact that the Pension Insurance Agency, the feds, who do insure those pensions, are quite concerned about just that possibility. And David joins me now. Hi, David. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Nancy.
So tell us, when we were talking about for GM and Chrysler, you point out that that we're talking about providing pension benefits to about 630,000 retirees and dependents and another 300,000 who haven't even begun drawing those. Them some big numbers to say, well, we're just going to wipe that out and let these people fend for themselves on the streets.
No, you're right. It's a huge number. It has a major impact on Michigan and other states with a lot of retirees. And it's important to know that the people who get hardest hit are the youngest retirees, because the way the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation insurance works is you get a higher benefit the older you are. So at age 65, the government insures a maximum of $54,000 a year in pension benefits. But if you're, say, 50 and you might be a 30 and out early retiree from GM or Chrysler, you get a maximum of $18,900. Secondly, the fund does not cover supplemental benefits, additional payments that the companies give for help to pay for health care benefits or other supplemental benefits that the UAW has negotiated. They only pay the core pension benefits. So even people who are not necessarily at the top of the benefit number could still see some reductions. And then when you look at the total numbers between Chrysler and GM and their unfunded pension liabilities, mm-hmm. if the pension plans were turned over to the government, the government would pay a total of $6 billion of the $23 billion in liabilities, which means the retirees would end up losing a total over many years of $17 billion in benefits. So a huge number.
Yeah, on a human scale, if you are retired and you no longer have the ability to make a living and your earnings were cut by, you know, that percentage, what do you do? There's obviously going to be, you know, you have Social Security, I suppose. That's it, right?
Right, you're right.
Or Taco Bell.
And the hardest thing are for the people who haven't gotten a Social Security and Medicare, those 50, 55-year-old retirees who still have to buy their own insurance, who haven't gotten to 62 or 65. And you're right, those folks, and by the way, they're the people who are having the most difficulty finding jobs in the unemployed 45 and older. There's a new report that says they have the most difficulty getting new jobs. So, right, this hits a group that often has kids maybe in college, or maybe they had kids later in life, still have kids at home. So, yeah, it's very worrisome.
Yeah, and so they have fear and anxiety, but also the Pension Benefit Corporation, the federal agency that insures those pensions, have some fears coming their way because they're essentially upside down to begin with right now.
Right. Well, a couple of things going on. One, there are $11 billion in the hole, the deficit. But don't forget, at least in the short term,
they're not going to be able to stop paying any money because they have $60 billion in assets. But the real problem is we all know about our 401ks and how badly they did last year. Well, think about the entire U.S. pension system and all those pensions that are invested in the stock markets. Well, we still don't know the total results, but there are some estimates that all those pensions funds last year lost over $300 billion in assets. So it's a real ticking time bomb because there are so many pensions out there who are now, you know, deeply underfunded. I mean, GM, to its credit, up until last year had a fully funded pension fund, and then the stock market tanked, and they all of a sudden, in 12 months, they went from fully funded to being underfunded by $20 billion. So, you know, this is a problem that down the road, no one knows where it ends. Does the government have to bail out the pension benefit guarantee corporation? Who knows?
Yeah, and it's what do you call it, a self-reinforcing cycle here, because if say there is a bankruptcy of the auto industry, that's going to have a ripple effect on lots of other industries and where they have pension situations, and it's going to have a huge shock to the financial markets. As I've been trying to tell everybody, GM bankruptcy, those words are going to have a psychological impact on the market that's lasting. And so then those 401ks, therefore, those pension, the value of those pension assets are reduced and are more upside down. And I don't think, David, that people, they just don't understand the complexity of this issue.
Yeah, you're right. It's been given this bumper sticker, as you point out, surgical bankruptcy, you know, quick rinse, 2 weeks in and out.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, there are certainly advantages to bankruptcy. I mean, clearly GM and Chrysler have way too much debt. They've got to do something to get out from under all that debt, and they've got to convince the bondholders and the UAW to make concessions. That's clear. But there are a lot of unknowns in bankruptcy, and it's been sort of portrayed as largely risk-free, and it's not just the pensions. It's once you go down that bankruptcy road, there's a lot of uncertainty. No one knows, you know, how the thing winds up. And take Delphi, you know, the big auto supplier in Troy. They went into bankruptcy in October 2005, and they're still in bankruptcy. And so, you know, once you go in, there's no guarantee you can get out quickly.
4 years later, now you guys are reporting at the Detroit News that GM is preparing to make official bond exchange offer. What's that?
Well, that's just, you know, this is what we're talking about in terms of making these concessions on their debt. GM has about $29 billion in bonds, in debt they owe, and they've got to shrink that under the terms of their loans with the Obama administration. So they're going to offer stock in the company to swap that for the debt. So you get rid of a lot of debt on your balance sheet in exchange for giving new shares of stock in the company to the bondholders. So they end up getting a chunk of the company, but they lose the principal that they were expecting. So clearly the bondholders don't want to lose the money, and that's sort of the threat. If they don't get the concessions, then they go into bankruptcy, and then bankruptcy bondholders often get very little. So it's kind of a game of chicken now.
Because they're unsecured, right? But the problem over at Chrysler is that the banks, we've been covering this, that Chase, Citigroup, these guys have secured debt, and they would rather force liquidation and take the assets, make more money, and because, you know, bankruptcy, they're secured. They're good to go.
Well, they're not going to get one-to-one, certainly, and it's a different game of chicken there, but you're right. They have liens against Chrysler's assets, their headquarters in Auburn Hills, and the plants, their intellectual property like the Jeep brand. And you're right, they're in a much better position to force Chrysler and the government to give them more money. So in that case, Chrysler's been offering about 15 cents on the dollar, whereas GM's expected to offer basically no cash to its bondholders, because you're right, they're not secured.
Right. So where is this all heading? I mean, this seems like, like I said, the Independence Day, but it seems like a monster game of chicken as the time approaches. You get to a point where the clock is, you know, when you get to the two-minute warning, is it going to increase the pressure for a deal, or do things just sort of unravel at that point?
You know, I just think it's too, you know, you can make an argument either way. I mean, clearly there's the government, the Chrysler, Fiat, they want a deal to happen. There's only 2 weeks left, and I think it's probably a better than 50-50 chance that happens. At GM, you know, a lot of the signs do point to bankruptcy. They're running out of time. They've got 6 weeks, but these bondholders are playing real hardball, and unfortunately, maybe without bankruptcy, you don't have the tools to to prod these guys into making the concession. So,
doesn't the government have any tools whatsoever in that the loans, the conditions of the loans? Do they have not any enforcement mechanisms against the bondholders? Because they seem to have, the ability with banks, and we're taking on all kinds of new authorities. Nothing against the bondholders. The bondholders could force this company into bankruptcy.
Pretty much. I mean, they signed, a bond is like a legal contract, and, you're right. With the banks, they've been able to they've got a little more leverage because the banks took TARP money, but these bondholders, the government can, basically all they have is really sort of, the court of public opinion. Can you convince these guys to, do they want to be blamed? Some big, pension funds.
Can we get the names? Is this public information? Because it's a public company. How do I get the names of the bondholders who have the gun to our head here?
Some of them are public record. Yeah, we should, some of those we can get.
How do we get those? How do you get that information? Because I'm gonna get that information.
Well,
I want people to know who's doing this.
It's reported by some of their the pensions. From the pensions themselves disclose their top assets, especially publicly traded funds, like the California CalPERS pension fund.
Okay, so if you get those links, would you get that to me? Because we can start getting this on websites. We want people to know who's doing this, and so who these bondholders are. That's all, just so that they can get public input. How's that?
Okay, we'll do it, Anthony.
Great. David Shepardson is the Washington Bureau reporter of the Detroit News, and I found that to be very interesting. Thanks, David, that people aren't thinking about the whole pension thing. Like we're going to just go into... I love these stories. This is a New York Times one. Surgical bankruptcy possible for GM, New York Times reports. Oh, yeah. Theoretically, we can destroy that asteroid with a nuclear weapon once we've lowered its immunity by inserting a virus. Theoretically, it's possible. Not likely. So that would be interesting. Our program is. Who are these GM bondholders? Remember we talked about Chrysler and Chase? They're secure. These guys are not secure. They're just playing a monster game of chicken with the entire economy, these bondholders, diverse as they are, individuals and institutions, they're not budging. And we don't want to see what happens if we have to put the nuclear weapon into the center of the asteroid. Everybody gets high. Everybody gets low. Surgical bankruptcy for General Motors, New York Times piece on this that I've been marveling at. As this is the word. The goal is to prepare a fast surgical bankruptcy. Tell me that my analogy to Independence Day is not apt here. This is the goal. This is the plan because the bondholders are holding out, okay, in this case. And so essentially the government who has already, they've already got like what, in GM, $13.4 billion in loans on the table. So the plan is to have a quick surgical. Treasury officials are looking at splitting the company into two companies, a good GM, which enters and exits bankruptcy protection in as little as 2 weeks, using $5 to $7 billion in federal financing. And then there's a bad GM, and that will be that will have the unlucrative, because the good GM will have like Chevy and all that technology, the Volt and their Chinese market, which is booming. The bad GM will have all of the obligations like pensions and health care and some of their assets that aren't performing so well. It would be liquidated over several years. The rest of the bad GM may require as much as $70 billion in government financing and possibly more to resolve the health care obligations and the liquidation of the factories, according to legal experts and federal officials. Now, Fritz Henderson, he's going to give an update tomorrow on what's, you know, where they are. But I'll tell you what, is it conceivably possible, yes, that you are able to somehow go to bankruptcy, force these bondholders just liquidate their assets, turn around and move on, split the company into good and bad, and do all, you know what? This is entropy, which is a term, it's a thermodynamic term. And it's like, it means energy dissipates. That's the law of the universe. It doesn't concentrate energy by itself. It dissipates. And when you open this door called bankruptcy and you try to do this surgical bankruptcy, and break it into two companies and raggle, you're gonna have an entropic event. You are gonna have a dissipation of energy, and you will start to see things like, as my guest just talked about, you will start to see suppliers, Delphi, Lear, I could go on, who are right themselves on the edge of bankruptcy. You're gonna see them topple. Then they're gonna take other automotive suppliers with them. And they're going to take advertising agencies down with them. And that's going to take more newspapers and more radio stations down with them. And mom and pop stores down with them as well. So, you know, back it all up. Back the whole thing up. I mean, the movie was a movie, Independence Day. What are the odds that we could actually really pull that off? You know, infest an asteroid with the virus and then hit it smack dab on with a nuclear weapon to save ourselves. Really? Okay, that's Bill Pullman. It's like Will Smith's movie. Now we're talking about having that same sort of feat. A quick surgical bankruptcy of General Motors, the largest industrial asset in the country, with entrenched interests across the globe in 2 weeks. My odds are on Will Smith. So I would much prefer to see this people come to their senses, and I'm going to find out who these bondholders are. It's just public information. It's a publicly traded company. Why not? Because that's the easiest point of intervention at this point. Not the surgical bankruptcy on the other end. All right. Thank God tomorrow is Friday. And we'll be back to discuss it all and more on The Nancy Skinner Show. Time.